They refer to themselves as the club, the club. But no one wants to be a member. No one would seek to join. Most of the individuals in the club have little or nothing in common with the others, except for one thing. All are parents of children who were killed in school shootings. In this December 10th, 2018 cover story, Time magazine reported on this invisible network of hundreds of grieving parents across America. The connection is not formal. There is no organizational structure, no list, no roster of names, but their bond is strong enough that they often describe themselves glibly, but also in earnest, as the club. The only one criteria for membership: you sent a child to school one day and then never saw them again because of a bullet, leaving you with pain, loss, and perhaps even other shattered children. A parent of a child killed at Sandy Hook says this: "It's a club you spend your whole life hoping you won't become a part of. But once you're in, you're in." These parents reach out to one another in their efforts to heal and to move on from this horrible experience. When Sandy Hook parents launched a foundation in honor of the kids killed there, parents and survivors of other school shootings flew to Connecticut to lend their support. Parents of children killed at Sandy Hook, Parkland, Santa Barbara, Columbine, Virginia Tech, and other places that have experienced such shooting text each other on the anniversaries of their children's death. They check in on each other and their families. They offer solace during the first overwhelming waves of grief. They share the wisdom learned from their own painful experiences of trying to move on while struggling to keep marriage and family intact. Some members of the club have found solace in speaking out and becoming activists for change in gun laws, expanding access to mental health care, tightening school security. Other parents give of their time to education programs in their community schools. And other families seek to avoid the public debates that follow these tragedies and reclaim their privacy. The club supports them all. This web of wounded souls spans America. They come from rural outposts in big cities, from Democratic strongholds and the reddest Republican states. They have different religions, income levels, and ethnicities. They are not of one mind on what needs to be done about gun violence. What they share is the agony that comes with losing a child to gun violence in a place where that child was supposed to be safe. They feel a special connection with other parents who have gone through this. And tragically, membership in the club continues to grow. In our whole life discipleship that I talked about in last week's homily, the question is not what you need, but who. In today's gospel, Jesus sends 72 disciples out into the world. And what is more important in this unusually specific numeric reference is the number two. The number two. The disciples were sent out to minister in pairs. And this is good news for sure. After all, it wasn't going to be an easy life. Lambs among wolves. No money bag, no sandals or sack to carry anything of value with you. All that the disciples had was themselves, their faith in Jesus, their ministry partner, and their proclamation and power to demonstrate what it meant by healing the sick. We don't walk this journey alone. We need each other for support, encouragement, a listening ear, perhaps even advice at times. And we learn from the experience of others who have walked before us, and we share our own experience with those who walk with us. The harvest we need to make, to reap, is the tremendous pain that so many people carry around each day. Our opportunity as followers of Jesus is to go out into the world from the comfort of our pews and our homes and bring with us open hearts, listening ears, and a prayerful presence. Then we can harvest much that burdens our neighbors. However, we will only be able to really help those who are hurting if we are authentic about the pain we carry ourselves. When we share our own experiences of grief, mental illness, economic insecurity, addiction, strains on our families, and other challenges that cause us hurt, others then can relate. And in relating, they are not only meeting us, but meeting Jesus, who sent us out ahead of him. The International Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous began in 1935, when two men, Bill W. and Dr. Bob S., two hopeless drunks, met as fellow travelers. They truly understood what alcoholism was like. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the many 12-step fellowships that have been created over the years are based on the principle that alcoholics and addicts stay clean and sober by reaching out to others and giving away what they have been given. It was through attraction and not promotion that the fellowship grew from two idealistic drunks. The parents of the club and AA members mirror the 72 in the gospel story as servants and as those served. So we might want to ask ourselves, are we part of that large group sent to places Jesus intends to visit? In sending them ahead, Jesus gave them no magical powers. He invests them with no special authority. They're to go about their work of humbly revealing God's love among them. And they're to put aside their own needs to accept gratefully whatever hospitality is offered to them. And they're to be God's agents for healing and reconciliation. People who are hurting all of us, in some way, need to know that the kingdom of God is at hand. And by going out into the world, two by two, we bring hope to people that are hurting, bruised in our broken world. So let me ask you, do you have a companion on your journey of faith? And if not, why not? The disciples are to greet each house they enter by saying, "Peace to this household." How do you offer peace to those you visit on the journey? Just as one alcoholic helping another alcoholic keeps both sober, and one parent helping another parent will keep both in the loving arms of our Creator, we too will be helped along the way. The kingdom of our God brings love, liberation, reconciliation, and resurrection. Too often and for too long, we have failed to share such a hope-filled message. And now, more than ever, we need to get it right.